Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most critical issues impacting our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Learn more about the work of the American Pastors Network at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
Well, good Friday afternoon to each and every one of you, wherever you might be out there in Stand in the Gap Today territory. And, of course, we are delighted to have you with us no matter where you might be. We do thank you so very, very much for the pleasure of your company. And I am Gary Dahl, and that fellow right there is Sam Rohr, aren't you, Sam?
Well, that fellow right there, I don't think people can see me. It's probably good, Gary, that they don't see either one of us. You know, some folks have faces for radio. I think maybe we could be in that category. But it's good to be here. I know our brother Dave is gone today. He's traveling, and as we've said before, he'll be absent next week. He'll be in the Holy Land, but I hope, and our listeners need to be staying tuned to this, I would hope that he will be able to call in maybe from time to time and give us an update live. That would be very, very good.
Well, he and I were just talking a little bit ago before we went on the air, Brother Sam, and we're going to try to have his first call in on Friday. And, of course, you know, we will be having different types of programming throughout the course of next week because I will be in California and you'll be going to Alaska, I guess it is. And, of course, you'll be – we will be with you Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. We're not going to give too many details on that right now, but things are just a little bit different, as we tried to explain to you yesterday with both Sam and Dave, as well as me being out of town over the next 2 weeks. But I was just talking with Dave, and it appears, Sam, that he will probably try to call in on Friday. Hmm. He'll be along the Sea of Galilee. And so he's going to try to call in and give us an update as to what's going on over there. That should be pretty interesting, you know.
Well, that will be exciting. And, you know, we travel, all of us, because of that whole nature. And actually, the guest we're going to have in a second hour, we'll talk about him. That's Dale Armstrong, international director. He travels to Europe, spent a lot of time in Ukraine. We're going to go there when we come back. But between the four of us, we're scattered abroad doing a lot of work across the country and around the world, and pretty excited to be able to have these kinds of inputs that we're going to have then and today and next week. So people really do need to stay tuned, as we'll have some, I think, good guests and some really good updates throughout the next couple of weeks for sure.
I'm glad you said we're scattered abroad. You almost paused after scattered. You know, that could mean that we are scattered in our thinking.
Oh, I didn't mean that.
I didn't mean that. You finished it. Some people might think so, by the way.
I know. That's why I clarified it, just in case.
There you go. But anyway, ladies and gentlemen, today, by the way, is Phone-In Friday. If you have something that you want to talk with us about, you may want to participate in this discussion with Dale Armstrong, who will be with us at the during the next segment. And so if you want to call into the program, please feel free to do that. Our number locally in the Philadelphia area is 610-539-8255, 610-539-8255, or toll-free 1-877-667-1180. That's 1-877-667-1180, and just to call those numbers if you want to participate in today's program. The phones are open to you. Historically, Sam, today is a day in which a number of great things have taken place. One of those things is the fact that this is the 240th anniversary of the beginning of the United States Army. And so to all those of you who are involved with the Army in one way, shape, or form, we want to say thank you so very, very much for your service. Sam, you know I have a son, Tom, who's in the Army. He's made a career of it. He has been in Special Forces. He's been in the Ranger Division. And right now he's up in New England going to a naval school. The Army is sending him to the naval school up in Rhode Island. I don't know what's behind that. But certainly I'm very proud of what he has done down through the years. And we're very thankful, are we not, for those who serve in our military, for what they do to make this nation strong. And we say happy birthday to the United States Army. 240 years old, and Sam, I hope they get stronger and last a lot longer.
Well, I do too, Gary. And, you know, that's a tremendous thing to reflect back on. We are thankful for those who have put their lives on the line. We would not be sitting here with freedom today had so many millions in the history of our country put their lives on the line. And, you know, Gary, and on this same day, I mean, I think it's worthy of mentioning as well, this day, June 12th, 1987, a very famous president, one we all look to a lot, President Ronald Reagan, made his famous statement to Mr. Gorbachev, "Tear down this wall, Mr. Gorbachev." That was on June 12th, 1987. And that's what helped to precipitate ultimately the economic collapse of the Soviet Union, which existed from 1922 to really 1921. But that was a president with leadership, Gary. And we look back on him fondly, don't we, though, and wish that we had some folks today who had that kind of courage and ability to articulate what freedom really means?
Oh, we certainly do. I miss Ronald Reagan all of the time. I have in my office at my home a calendar with Ronald Reagan on it. It's a Reagan calendar, and you know, it shows different sights of him. The one that's up there right now is him out in a lake. He's out in the lake rowing in a canoe, and you know, he was just an outdoorsman. He was an intelligent man. He was influential, and you know, I would love to see another Ronald Reagan in the White House. I don't know if any of the upcoming individuals who will be running would even begin to qualify, but I do miss Ronald Reagan. And Sam, as I understand, that expression, "Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall," it was sort of controversial at first. As I understand, the speechwriter for Ronald Reagan put it in and then scratched it out, and then Ronald Reagan decided to say it. I think that's the accurate background of that, is it not?
Well, that's my recollection of well. You know, and that was an extraordinarily bold, bold statement to make vis-a-vis the Soviet Union at that point. Because, again, folks, I mean, we have a generation of folks coming up who don't remember the Cold War. My children and so forth, I mean, they don't remember that. We can look back, and those were testy days. Those were days when there were many folks who were running from the Soviet Union, and he ran into that atheistic ideology and made that very bold statement, because they could have told him to take a hike. They could have told him a lot of things. But the difference between him and this current president that we have is that Ronald Reagan made statements born out of true conviction, with an understanding what our Constitution was, and was defending these United States and could back up and was willing to back up what he said. Unlike what we have right now. And when we come back after the break with Dale Armstrong, who's in Ukraine, we can talk about Russia and what's happening there again, and compare contrast to Ronald Reagan. I think it'll be very interesting.
Yes, it will. So, ladies and gentlemen, stay tuned. Dale Armstrong is a part of the American Pastors Network. He sort of works in our international division and very much involved over in Ukraine. So we're going to be talking about that throughout the rest of the program. So don't go away. We are delighted to have you there. We will be back with more right after these messages, so stay tuned to Stand in the Gap today for this Friday afternoon.
This is Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, and I'm thrilled to announce that BJU Press, the Christian homeschool curriculum leader, has come alongside APN as a national sponsor of Stand in the Gap today. Together, we share a commitment to further a true biblical worldview and to follow Jesus' command to be salt and light to the culture. BJU Press provides academically sound educational materials designed to fully equip children for college and the workplace. As postmodern culture seeks to eliminate God from the classroom, BJU Press integrates biblical truth into curricula that's accurate, dependable, and exceeds all national academic standards. APN welcomes BJU Press as a national partner and sponsor of Stand in the Gap today. If you're a parent and want to find out more, visit BJU Press online at bjupresshomeschool.com or by calling 800-845-5731. Again, we at APM welcomes BJU Press as a national partner, as together we work to instill Christian values in the generations to follow.
Deer might be fun to look at, but they can rub the bark off your trees overnight, creating thousands of dollars in damage. Ordinary tree wraps or stormwater pipe can't stand up to deer when they're rutting or in heat. Hi, I'm Jim Saunders, the creator of Tree Armor, the world's first and only spring-loaded tree guard. Tree Armor stands up to any buck, protecting young trees up to 4 inches thick from deer rubbing as well as power tools. It's infused with a natural cayenne pepper scent that repels deer before they can do damage to your trees. It's brown and almost invisible from a short distance, and Tree Armor is the only tree guard made in America, using only EPA-approved vinyl, free of lead and heavy metals found in other imported products. Tree Armor's not available in stores, but you can buy it from the manufacturer at a huge discount. Go to our website, mytreearmor.com, and buy as many as you need from about $3 each. We even pay the postage. That's mytreearmor.com to protect your trees.
The Pocket Testament League presents Pocket Power. Read, carry, and share the gospel every day. If you've ever failed to share your faith because you just didn't know what words to use, then carry the word with you.
I use the gospels primarily within my motorcycle ministry, Bikers for Christ. I also leave copies in the hospital and doctor's offices when I go for my appointments.
Hello, this is Mike Brickley, president of the Pocket Testament League. Reading the Bible every day is so easy when you always have it with you. You won't even need a backpack. You can carry one right in your pocket. What are you waiting for?
I carry the Pocket Testaments with me and hand them out on buses, subways, taxis, and as the Spirit leads me. I receive bright smiles and heartfelt thank yous. I know that the Word will accomplish God's purpose in the lives of these people.
What are you waiting for? Read, carry, and share the gospel every day. For more information, call 1-800-636-8785 or visit pocketpower.org. That's pocketpower.org.
History was made on today's date. Stay tuned for an American Minute with Bill Federer.
He received the Distinguished Flying Cross for his service in the Pacific during World War II. He studied at Yale, was a congressman, ambassador to the UN, CIA director, and vice president under Ronald Reagan before becoming America's 41st president. His name, George Bush, born this day, June 12, 1924. In his inaugural address, President Bush stated, "I have just repeated the oath taken by George Washington 200 years ago. And the Bible on which I place my hand is the Bible on which he placed his. And my first act as president is a prayer. I ask you to bow your heads."
This has been an American Minute with Bill Federer. For a free transcript, call American Minute at 1-888-USA-WORD.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and stand in the gap today.
Well, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Stand in the Gap Today. For this beautiful afternoon. And, you know, as I often say, it doesn't make any difference what the weather is. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. So it's always beautiful, no matter what the weather is. But we thank you for the pleasure of your company. And again, if you want to participate in our conversation here, please do so by calling 610-539-8255. That is the local number around our flagship station of WFYL in Philadelphia area. However, if you want to call in toll-free, the number is 1-877-667-1180. And we are delighted to have He's a guest on this program, but he's very, very, very much involved with the American Pastors Network. And Sam, why don't you introduce Mr. Dale to our audience here this afternoon?
Yeah, Gary, I'd love to do that. Yes, this is Dale Armstrong, who's with us. Dale is he was a pastor of a church in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, and he may want to share just briefly, but way back in January of 2014, he felt led of God to go over to Ukraine when they were embarking on their freedom movement, and tremendous things happened after that, an opening of doors for the involvement of the American Pastors Network there in that country, which, frankly, all the eyes of the world are on there. And we're going to talk about some of those things now with him. But tremendous things that have happened since then. And Dale has been spending a lot of time there and has now become our international director for the American Pastors Network, carrying out the same mission that we have here in these United States. It's just the same thing there in a different setting in Ukraine. So all of that being said, Dale, you probably are trying to keep your eyes open because you just got home, I think, last night. But we're thrilled that you're with us on the program. And welcome back, welcome home, and welcome to Stand in the Gap today.
Thank you, Sam, and Gary as well. It's always a joy to be with you guys because the you provoke me in conversation, and I really appreciate how your commitment to truth and a biblical foundation gives us the right lens to look at history, both past and future. So I'm excited to spend some time with you guys.
Well, Gary, Dale, I'd like to start here with this. I gave just a little bit of an update, but give, if you can, if it's even possible, a brief recap of what it is that you're doing in Ukraine, briefly how it came about, and then we can start walking into some of the things that are actually happening there, because we hear so much on the news. We hear about Russia coming in from the east. We hear about the European Union. We hear about the International Monetary Fund. We hear about all kinds of things, but I'm not even so sure that a lot of what we hear is even true. So we're wanting you to help kind of clarify that. So briefly bring together what it is that you're doing there and just shade this whole thing from the perspective of how God is looking at this and how we believe that God has put you and us right in the middle of a tremendous opportunity.
Well, you're absolutely right. Most are not aware of the events in the past 2 years. And in a nutshell, Ukraine was drifting west in mentality, economics, getting ready to sign a trade agreement with the European Union. And Russia was poised to lose a tremendous amount of influence and even population. And we saw two things happening at the same time. An amazing spirit of liberty that came among the Ukrainian people in the form of a revolution on Maidan, a peaceful demonstration. I want to emphasize that. Millions of people literally went to the public square peacefully. It's been called a revolution of dignity, where they simply stood up on the bus, so to speak, and said, "We have our rights." And the current president, who was a pawn, Mr. Yanukovych, a pawn of Russia, was forced to flee the country. And then immediately, Mr. Putin's response was Russian aggression. It was an invasion of Crimea. You know, all the newscasts will say an annexation. It was an invasion. It needs to be called what it was. There was an invasion then also into the east. Now, interesting thing is this is where we got involved. I was in Moscow when Mr. Yanukovych fled Ukraine, and I flew, as the Lord would have it, to preach a seminar in the city of Donetsk, which then later became a staging ground for this Russian invasion. And the point of it, Sam, is at that time when I came into Donetsk, which would be about March 1, I could not find a pro-Russian. And I talked to everyone, not just those in the church, but on the street, girls waiting tables, boys in the cell phone company selling SIM cards, even some boys on the street corner smoking cigarettes. I couldn't find a pro-Russian until the Russian propaganda began. And I was an eyewitness of that. We were on the streets praying every night as pastors. There was a tremendous amount of unity among the churches, praying because of what was taking place in Kiev. Well, then that began to be countered by these paid thugs who were coming in from Russia, and drunken older men and drug users, men, we found out later that had been given amnesty from prison if they would go to cause problems in the East. And Russian propaganda upset the society itself. And that, I think, is something we need to discuss, because it's already even been seen to have some of its tentacles here in the U.S. being traced back to Russian propaganda.
Well, Dale, I want to pick up certainly on that on the second hour. Let's leave that sitting there. Let's talk about that propaganda. What are lies? What's the truth? When we go into it. But specifically then, God led you to pursue an opportunity that then led to an invitation to the American Pastors Network to come. Share that with our listeners.
Well, that propaganda was actually the root of it, because I immediately saw while I was in Donetsk that the new leaders in Ukraine, the interim president, Mr. Turchinov, who was a former Baptist pastor, who are they going to trust when you don't know what's true or what's reliable? And I felt impressed with the Lord. I know you drafted a letter for me to present that, pastors can trust pastors. And I think that's key right now in our society as well in the U.S. Hmm. And the invitation was extended for us to come and to teach biblical principles of leadership, particularly with a biblical worldview and with the grasp and understanding that you provide, even in the political climate, as we see in the book of Romans, Romans 13. And with that invitation, in less than 2 weeks, we organized the summit. Of course, you were there, Gary Dahl, David Barton, several others. And we were able to minister to 90-some delegates from different spheres of society. Basically, all of the Protestant church was represented. We had members of parliament. We had the premier members of the journalism. And that opened a door. That even now is still sending shockwaves. We've even had reports from South Africa from the impact of that seminar. Now, it set the stage for us to do there what we're doing here, which is the Ministers Together program, in teaching pastors that they have a voice to speak into the public square and that we have a role to play in government. We serve and worship a God whom we proclaim rules over the governments and the affairs of men, and yet as pastors sometimes we're too docile to realize, we have a part to play in that as well.
Hmm.
Dale, I'm just wondering, you talk about Ministers Together, and of course we had a great time when we were over there for the seminar last year, but how about Ministers Together over there? Is there generally a good relationship between the ministers in the pulpit and the ministers in the government, as we define it here with the American Pastors Network?
Well, it's in a different environment, Gary, which to me is very exciting. As we know, you and I being pastors, that often people turn to Jesus when their life has failed, when everything has gone wrong, unfortunately. They've lost their job, they've lost their wife, or their dog died. You know what I'm saying? They came to the end of their rope, and they'll give God a chance. That is what has happened, I believe, in the government in Ukraine right now and in the economy and society. There is no hope but the Lord. And so that has opened up doors perhaps like never before. In a few very clear areas or sectors. Number one, right now in Ukraine, it is the greatest unity among the church that I've ever seen in 25 years. Here I am, a Protestant evangelical pastor. I've been in the residence of the patriarch of the Ukrainian Orthodox Church three different times, sitting with Filaret, talking about Jesus, talking about feeding the poor, taking care of the humanitarian crisis. Who would have dreamed that American Protestant pastor would be dialoguing like this with the Ukrainian patriarch? We have over 20 denominations, the Interchurch Council. They're in unity because they realize there's no time for strife right now. So that's a real key. That unified church now gives a voice that the government can hear. And the second sector I'd talk about is the government is wide open for input, because they realize they have no other opportunity, no other chance to survive.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we are talking to Dale Armstrong, who, of course, is a part of the leadership of the American Pastors Network. He is our international director and very, very much involved over in Ukraine. And he has a lot more to tell us about that country. He just got back from Ukraine and in our country probably less than 24 hours. So He's fresh from over there, and he has a lot to say. So don't you go away. We will have more with Dale Armstrong when we come back right after this break.
These are the times that try men's souls. The summer soldier and the sunshine patriot will, in this crisis, shrink from the service of their country. But he that stands it now deserves the love and thanks of man and woman. Tyranny, like hell, is not easily conquered. Yet we have this consolation with us, that the harder the conflict, the more glorious the triumph. Thomas Paine, The American Crisis, 1776.
Fox News Radio. I'm Chris Foster. A house call from President Obama meeting at the Capitol with Democrats skeptical about a free trade bill he wants passed. Gene Green from Texas says these deals have not kept jobs in America.
The intent has been to make sure that we can invest in other countries and make sure that the investors will be returned.
Nebraska Democrat Brad Ashford supports the bill.
This is a vote for better jobs, a stronger economy for American workers. For American exceptionalism, I believe, Mr. Speaker, that this is a vote for the ages.
It's tied to a job retraining bill that will be voted on first. The search for two prison escapees is now focused on an area where two men were spotted jumping a stone wall.
I'm hoping they're not near here, but I do want them captured.
She lives in Katyville, New York. Richard Madden and David Sweat have been missing since Saturday. Fox News, we report. You decide.
Chris Christie will be there. Scott Walker will be there. Rick Santorum will be there. You need to be there. The Northeast Republican Leadership Conference at the Sheraton Philadelphia Downtown Hotel, June 18th through the 20th. Meet the top Republican candidates for president right here in Philly. Sign up at 2015leadership.gop. That's 2015leadership.gop. The Northeast Republican Leadership Conference. You can't miss it. Paid for by the Republican Party of Pennsylvania, not authorized by any candidate or candidate committee. Ronald Reagan once said, "Politics is not a bad profession. If you succeed, there are many rewards. If you disgrace yourself, you can always write a book."
Working for your liberty right here. Tri-state area, streaming freedom shining light from Philly to the nations. 1180 shining forth, we are the Freedom Station. WFYN.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and Stand in the Gap Today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Stand in the Gap Today. Dave Kistler is off today, so it's Sam Rohr and I, and along with us we have Dale Armstrong, who is a part of the American Pastors Network administrative team. He, of course, is also our overseas director and has been doing a lot of work in Ukraine and is just fresh home from Ukraine and, of course, is with us here in the program today. Dale, you know, there are a lot of people who are wondering if Putin is about ready to invade Ukraine. And I'm in an ongoing discussion with a listener to this particular program, And he is of the opinion that it could happen at any time. I'm wondering what your thoughts are. You know Ukraine. You probably know Ukraine much better than Putin knows Ukraine.
Well, I don't know about that. I think, in fact, I would comment, let's never underestimate him.
Quite a guy.
He is, and I think that's a fatal mistake if we do. He's not crazy. He's very good at what he does. Hmm. But my quick answer, short answer, is I could go from the top and work down. Mr. Turchynov, the former interim president, he's also now basically responsible for the war. He's in a security position that was created for that reason. He just released a statement, I believe it was yesterday, that invasion is imminent. If we work our way down, our own U.S. sources, General Wesley Clark, who's probably got the clearest voice to America about the situation, believes invasion is imminent. There's a second or another wave preparing. He actually has announced that he felt it would have happened in May. There have been some severe battles in May. Then as you keep working down to the guy on the ground, to whom I'm very well connected, my phone rings pretty frequently with eyewitness reports from Mariupol, from the Donetsk region, from people who are going in and out of the what they call the ATO zone, an anti-terrorist area. There is an increased buildup. It has not decreased. You have the monitors, the OSCE monitors, who are monitoring this facade of a ceasefire, are largely, predominantly Russian-favored. Time after time, Gary, there will be a moment when the Russian separatists would fire upon Ukrainian positions, and the OSCE monitors will show up on the Ukrainian side and say, now don't return fire, or you'll break the agreement.
Hmm.
There's been also a changeover in the instructors that are coming in from Russia to train these separatists, the rebels. Around Mariupol, it's been confirmed that new trainers have come in, and they're teaching door-to-door combat, urban warfare, which was something which will be new. I have eyewitness reports and testimonies from Crimea, training going on there of an amphibious assault coming in towards Mariupol from the sea. So it is a dire moment. The tanks keep coming across the border. The heavy artillery keeps coming across the border. The common weaponry even is increasing. I've spoken to snipers in Mariupol area where they cannot compete with the Russian separatists because they're armed by the Russians with very expensive weaponry. They're being fired upon with 50 caliber snipers who can reach 1.5 kilometers. With a sniper rifle. Their defenses, their sniper rifles, are half a kilometer. They can't even compete with the sniping. And, you just don't pick up these rifles at a five and dime. Neither do they have the money to purchase them unless they're supplied by the Russian side. But we could go on and on and on. The fact is, the American government just simply isn't listening to the degree that it ought to. Although I commend Democrats and Republicans for their unity, it still is stalled. We need to be helping the Ukrainians, and we aren't.
Now, when we talk about an invasion over there, do you think that Russia would be looking at a total invasion? I mean, of the entire country or just a segment of it?
Well, I think that what he needs, what Putin needs, is not an entire invasion per se. What he needs is to destabilize the government. I often give the analogy of put a glass against a wall and put your fist against it and just keep pushing until you have 1,000 little pieces. That, in the end, I believe, is Putin's aim. If he can destroy the infrastructure, the government, the economy, he can pick up the pieces at his leisure. Yeah, we've already proven that we've basically given him a free pass. So an all-scale invasion, I believe, is doubtful. All he needs to do is take one or two more cities, and there will be a tipping point in society, a greater degree of instability economically and a hopelessness among the government.
Dale, I'd like to go back with you and follow up, if we can, on the whole propaganda issue that you brought up on the other side.
Yeah.
How exactly is Putin and his team disseminating the propaganda over there, number one? Number two, are we being subject here in the United States to Putin/Russia propaganda here? Explain that.
Well, there's two things to remember. Number one, almost 100% of the media in Russia is state-owned. It has been taken over by the government itself. Time magazine did a great expose on Russia Today, a news arm of Russia, and compared it in size. It's bigger than BBC, ABC, and CBS News combined, and it's controlled by the Russian government. Now, and you know, you have a saying in Ukraine that when something happens, CNN shows up. When Russia Today shows up, something's going to happen. And you know, the list of lies that are they're just endless. Some of the Russians, and again, I love Russia. I love the Russian people. I've spent a large portion of my life in Russia. I hurt and am pained in my heart to what's happening in the Russian government. I want to be clear about that, any of our listeners that are Russians, because there are an amazing amount of Russian people who are opposed to what's taking place, several of them journalists, who went undercover and got hired by this Russian propaganda machine, and they've come out with amazing exposés. There's a building in St. Petersburg, three-story building, that is 24 hours of doing nothing but cranking out this propaganda and these lies. And yes, it is coming to America. There's reports you can Google. You can find a lot of traces. There was a big one in Louisiana where rumors were spread about a nuclear radioactive leak, all of it being traced back to this building in St. Petersburg. I know even more overtly out in the open when Mr. Poroshenko came, the president of Ukraine, and gave a tremendous speech to our Congress. Russia dropped $50 million on two separate PR companies, one in New York and one in D.C., to combat this.
See, isn't that an amazing thing? $50 million to influence U.S. lobbyists, or to buy U.S. lobbyists, to influence Washington and the media around that. See, that's the kind of thing I haven't seen in any other kind of press, Dale, and that's a significant thing. I mean, we have is there not a connection? What's the connection between CNN and Russia? Is there one there?
You're over my head on that one. I'm not sure. It'd be interesting because there are several think tanks that I've identified just by following their patterns that I'm convinced are under Russian influence, because they're leaving too many holes in their logic and their reason. They're not telling the whole truth. And they're filtering everything to make Russia look and smell sweet. Probably one of the most disconcerting things about Russia right now, and I just read an article yesterday, is they've stopped any futuristic thinking or planning. They used to have a 3- and 5-year plan that they pushed economically. It was available to the public. All future planning is stopped in Russia. All they talk about now is the past, trying to revive the idea of the glory of a past Russia and stir up and foment among themselves, among their own populace, this national identity to be ready for war. And I don't know, that's another issue, Sam, is the Russian people have now been brought to a place where they believe that nuclear war is imminent. I know on their version of Facebook, it's called Contact, they had so many hundreds of thousands of shares of what to do in case of a nuclear attack. You have a whole mind shift taking place in Russia, polarizing against the West, and they see everything taking place in the Ukraine as being our work.
And really, as we look at the people over in Ukraine, you alluded to this in the last segment, there's very little trust toward the administration of the United States of America, correct?
Very little trust. There is a hope, though, and this is the one thing that gives me pride. I mean, I've stopped counting how many times I've apologized on behalf of the American people for our lack of support. But the Ukrainians will have hope. They do have a distrust in the current administration. but I think they see the bigger picture.
Well, of course, you know, one of the reasons why we were over there last year was to try to help them understand that there are many people here in the United States, pastors and Christians and others, who really do want to stand with and support Ukraine. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a break, but we will be back with more Stand in the Gap today with Dale Armstrong, Sam Rohr, and myself right after these messages, so please stay tuned.
Dishonest money dwindles away, but he who gathers money little by little makes it grow. A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. But have you ever stopped to ask how much is enough or how much is too much? Will the money you leave to your family come between them and God? Have you ever said, I am rich, I've acquired wealth, I don't need a thing? I believe that God increases our wealth not to increase our standard of living, but to increase our standard of giving. This is Roy Russell, president of the Life Financial Group, a Christian wealth advisory firm. We work with believers and especially widows to wisely manage the wealth and efficiently pass it on to the children and grandchildren. We are financial, tax, and estate planners. We help successful Christians make wise decisions with their money so they can better provide for their families and leave a legacy of significance. Please call me with your questions or to discuss your needs and desires at 800-688-5800. That's 1-800-688-5800 or online at thelifegroup.org. That's thelifegroup.org.
Securities and advisory services offered through Genios Wealth Management, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Deer might be fun to look at, but they can rub the bark off your trees overnight, creating thousands of dollars in damage. Ordinary tree wraps or stormwater pipe can't stand up to deer when they're rutting or in heat. Hi, I'm Jim Saunders, the creator of Tree Armor, the world's first and only spring-loaded tree guard. Tree Armor stands up to any buck, protecting young trees up to 4 inches thick from deer rubbing as well as power tools. It's infused with a natural cayenne pepper scent that repels deer before they can do damage to your trees. It's brown and almost invisible from a short distance, and Tree Armor is the only tree guard made in America using only EPA-approved vinyl, free of lead and heavy metals found in other imported products. Tree Armor is not available in stores, but you can buy it from the manufacturer at a huge discount. Go to our website, mytreearmor.com, and buy as many as you need from about $3 each. We even pay the postage. That's mytreearmor.com to protect your trees.
School property taxes are out of sight and going up almost every year. Even if you've paid off your mortgage, you haven't paid off the state of Pennsylvania. If you lose your job, you could lose your home too. But there is hope on the horizon. Harrisburg is considering a bill which will eliminate property taxes for school funding. It replaces it with a broad-based small increase in income taxes and sales taxes. This makes all Pennsylvanians responsible for school funding, not just property owners. Please join us at Montgomery County Community College in Pottstown on Thursday, June 25th at 7 p.m. for a town hall meeting to discuss how we can fully fund our schools without taxing people out of their homes. Town Hall Meeting, Montgomery County Community College in Pottstown on Thursday, June 25th at 7 p.m. Admission is free.
The book of Nehemiah records an amazing story of how Nehemiah accomplished great things against all odds. I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network. Though we have great national concerns today, all Israel had even greater concerns. A collapsed nation, a destroyed temple, a sacked capital, walls torn down, city gates burned with fire, the people living as captives in foreign lands. Yet God was mightily at work. First the enemy, King Cyrus himself, said he was moved of the Lord to rebuild the temple in Jerusalem, and he sanctioned the work. Then God raised up necessary leaders, the elders, priests, Ezra, volunteers, and then Nehemiah. Nehemiah's task? To organize the physical work of laying new foundations, rebuilding broken walls, and all in the face of enormous opposition. But Nehemiah did the work because he could say with confidence, "The good hand of my God is upon me." I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, saying, be encouraged. Can you say with Nehemiah that God's good hand is on you? Because that's the key.
Sign up as a partner at papastors.net.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources, categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and stand in the gap today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, and of course, it's a delight to have Dale Armstrong with us on the program today, and of course, he's been giving us an update on what's going on over in Ukraine. I do want to shift our discussion here just a little bit and go to you, Sam, on something. And, you know, there's something taking place today in the United States of America that, you know, sort of reminds me a little bit about Russia, and maybe even Sam might have a comment on this. But today, as I understand it, begins the takeover of the Internet by our government. And I'm wondering if you might relate to our people really what that's all about, what that means, and how is that going to affect us on a day-by-day basis?
Well, Gary, we did talk about this in the past, and obviously this has been something that's been in the press much in the past when the bill was passed. But if we recall, this was an effort to theoretically level the playing field. This is what Congress said the president said, we need to level the playing field out there in this thing we called the Internet to make sure that there are certain individuals, entities, companies that are not like bullies on the block keeping certain other people out. Well, the fact of the matter is that sounded good, but that's really not what this is about. This, for the first time, is allowing governmental intrusion into this this area of communication, which has been the greatest boon for communication that this world's ever seen. That's been uncontrolled, meaning it's been free. It's going to allow them to step into it and begin doing the kinds of things that they have tried to do for some cases, for instance, for radio and certain other things where you have to have certain limitations what you can do. The bottom line, Gary, is that the ability to take for government to now be able to take and ultimately move in and attempt to control content that goes out over the internet waves. If it happens to be offensive, they can do something about it in their opinion. If it happens to be, they might determine it to be antagonizing or whatever, they can step in. They also have the ability under this to actually slow down the speed of the internet. I mean, obviously, one of the great things we have is being able to, even like we're doing here, part of us are connected by internet relations them here right now. It causes the message to go out by radio, satellite, and so forth. They can step in and actually slow down those kinds of things. So this is not good. There was an effort to try to get the court to step in and delay implementation. Just 2 days ago, the court ruled against it. And so it's going forward. So all I can say is that we and anybody who's involved in communication will begin seeing some kind of implementation impact from this. But it is not what our founders indicated. It is not what the First Amendment is about. And frankly, the whole thing is wrong-headed in all regards. Congress should never have passed it, but they did.
So what you're saying is that this is really a major intrusion in the freedom of speech that we have here in the United States of America, or at least the potential is there.
Well, that's exactly correct. That's what I'm saying. That is the First Amendment, that ability to be able to speak and express oneself without having to go through governmental filters. And so forth that's being changed. Of course, we're talking to Dale here today, and what's happening in Russia. Dale, I would assume that in the Russian circumstance over there, that there is no such thing as free speech, and probably everything is run through Russian governmental filters. I would assume, is that correct?
Primarily, it is. I mean, I think someone ought to do an expose. Some of these Russian journalists are heroes in my book. I mean, that has been the majority of the Russian opposition. Their constitution failed them. The President Putin found a way out to get around term limits. You know, and that's one of the reasons why we're dialoguing so much with Ukrainian leaders, is the biblical principles that ought to be in one's constitution, and what we're talking about right now is freedom of speech. These are attacks on the integrity of God's laws, the inalienable rights that he's given to man, that are why our forefathers bled and died. They are not seen to be so relevant to the American public because we as pastors have failed to ring the bell of liberty. And I think we need to be a little bit more bolder about that. You know, we are ourselves are being subtly deceived by our misinformation. We've got pastors in the pulpits saying that homosexuality is not a sin. Well, disinformation is just as dangerous in theology as it is in public life.
Well, it is. And of course, you know, we're dealing with that even right now as it relates to the same-sex issue right here in the United States of America. And, you know, if the Supreme Court, Dale, we've talked about this quite a bit, but if the Supreme Court really comes out and says that same-sex is allowed by the Constitution, then it is going to bring attacks on our religious freedoms we have here in the United States of America. And my question to you is, with your many, many years of background in Russia as well as in Ukraine, when there is an attack on religious freedom, then how does the Christian respond to that? Maybe you've learned some things about that over in Russia, in Ukraine, that you can share with our people here today. When the government brings an intrusion or intrudes into our religious freedoms, what can we do as Christians from that point on?
Well, over there it's quite interesting, Gary, because you see the dichotomy. You see it happening prior to this aggression that happened in March of last year. The Russian Evangelical Church and the Ukrainian Evangelical Church were basically one body. In fact, I've heard statistics that up to 60% of the Protestant churches in Russia were planted by Ukrainian missionaries. But now when this happened, this explosion of Russian aggression, you had two different responses. In Ukraine, I'd had probably half a dozen different pastors in different locales, none of them knowing that I, you know, none of them related, but all of them saying the same thing, which went like this. I used to be a pacifist. I never cared about our government, but all that's changed now. Do you want to see my gun? And pastors have, as what happened in 1776, pastors are now leading battalions. They're now standing up and giving the ultimate sacrifice for freedom. Now, in Russia, there's been a different approach, and that's one, I would say, based on survival. The former Soviet Union and the oppression of past years drove the church underground. Mm-hmm. And that is another method of preserving one's freedom religiously. And I suppose, in many ways, that's what will happen in America. Whatever happens in the Supreme Court isn't going to change what I preach on Sunday morning.
And actually, you know, what we've seen historically, whether it's in Russia or Ukraine or other countries, I've experienced this somewhat down in Africa, and that is that where there is an attack on our religious freedoms, the church becomes stronger. I mean, you know, it might be driven underground, but spiritually speaking, it becomes stronger. And, you know, maybe we need some of that here in America. Well, our time is up today. Dale Armstrong, thank you very, very much for being with us today.
Thank you.
Been a delight to have you, and I'm sure that we'll have you on the program again in the near future. And Sam, it's been a good day to have you and me together as well. I think I didn't mind that. Did you?
No, I didn't mind at all. It was a good day, and we look forward to next week and your trip. And have a guest, Bill Fetter, will be with me all day Monday on this program. It'll be a fantastic program. Be back then.
Stand in the gap for faith and freedom. Keep looking up. Remember, the best is yet to come.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler. Brought to you by the American Pastors Network. Every day on this station, we address the most urgent issues undermining the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. APN takes seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Our mission is to declare truth into the public square, bringing a biblical worldview to the issues of the day. We seek to build a dynamic network of pastors across the nation who hold firmly to the authority of Scripture and boldly preach the whole counsel of God. This ministry is supported through the prayers and financial support of people like you, and we urge you to do all you can to help the American Pastors Network accomplish this mission. To learn more, visit www.AmericanPastorsNetwork.net and help us with your donation today. Find out how we're impacting the culture and how you can join in the mission. The Gap Today.
If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. WFYL reminds you to pray for America.